This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official EFL podcast with me, Mark Clement, and relax. Yes, after nine championship matches in 29 days, a fifth of the season in just 1 month, the pace ever so slightly slows down. Unless, of course, you're one of those managers desperately trying to stem the effect of COVID on their clubs, which, as well as bringing the country to its knees this week, was the cause of five Sky Bet EFL matches to be postponed last weekend, and other camps have been affected since. We're all battered, we're all bruised, we're all wondering what else 2020 can throw at us. So for the next 45 minutes, let's see if we can bring you one sprout's worth of festive cheer on the official EFL podcast. Oh, and just as a footnote, we were up to date with COVID postponements at the time of recording this episode, but the situation is, of course, changing constantly. So is it just me, or does Christmas with the Cowleys have a certain festive ring to it? Clearly it contains the word Christmas, so that helps. If it makes no sense to you, then disregard the last 10 seconds. And I'll just say, what an early present to have Danny and Nikki Cowley following Yonder Star to join us on this week's official EFL podcast. And my only disappointment, the pair of you, is I've seen both your beards looking more Santa-like. I was banking on you, Danny, to bring that aspect into this, what is essentially an audio look at the EFL. But nevertheless, you're a bit trimmed for me. Dan, I thought you'd be a bit more white and pouring out of your chin.
I've still got the grey, so I've definitely got the Santa greyness, but probably not his length.
No sign of sort of festive. Oh, you have corner of your screen. Nick, you got your tree there?
Yes, Mark. Yeah. I'd like to say that was down to me, but no, Lauren's very excited. We've got a few trees in the house, actually.
Nicky's got more Christmas trees than anybody in Lincoln, for sure.
Honestly. Seriously. Well, but actually, yeah. Serious question. I mean, you know, this is your fifth Christmas since going pro, and I'm assuming when you were PE teachers before and still managing that Christmas was absolutely hectic. It's immersive when you're a sort of professional manager. So is there a pleasure in actually experiencing this properly for the first time in Yonkers, Danny?
I know, I was thinking about this the other day, actually. So I think 25 years since I've had a Christmas without football, wow. Obviously firstly as a player, and then as a part-time manager, and now as a full-time manager. So it will be different for us this year, for sure. I'm hoping the Christmas dinner tastes a little bit better, because you kind of, when you're preparing for a game, either as a player or as a manager, you've always got football somewhere in the forefront of your mind, and kind of naturally got that anxiety that you have in your stomach when you're preparing for a game. So no, I'm looking forward to having a football-free Christmas and just spending it with our children and our family, really. My children are at a great age. We're certainly super excited about Christmas in this household.
And what about contact between the two of you, Nikki? Because, you know, the pair of you are so inextricably linked. Are you doing a sort of Zoom call between you three times a day? Or have you actually enjoyed a bit of space between you and actually living your own lives rather than being joined at the hip?
I'd like to say, Clem, I tried to do my best to get away from Danny for a little period of time after spending so much time with each other. But no, we absolutely love our football. So it kind of draws us back to having lots of conversations, and we're just enjoying this time out, really, to try to keep learning and keep improving and also reflect on what we've done previously. So, you know, naturally we've had lots of conversations about that, and yeah, like I say, really want to keep trying to improve in terms of moving forward, and you know, we're looking forward to a new opportunity when that might come. We're not so sure, but making sure really that we can make an impact when that does arise. And you know, football's such a fast flowing sport, it changes, you know, so quickly, it's ever evolving, so you really do have to use this time to keep watching, keep analysing, and to keep trying to improve ultimately. And no, we're lucky enough to live next door to each other, so we secretly enjoy you know, speaking regularly, and you know, particularly most of our conversations are about football, but we do occasionally ask about each other's kids and wives as well to to make sure we get the balance.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I know you well enough to ask this question. When you experience being removed from a club, Danny, for the first time, I think, would it be in
yeah,
your...
Yeah, for the first yeah. time, yeah.
I mean, is that literally, are your feet swirling through the air? Are you twisting somersaults? Are you shocked, hurt? What, you know, what kind of emotions do you experience? I'm obviously referring to the fact that you left Huddersfield in the summer.
I think if you're honest, you have an array of different emotions. For us, we'd obviously just beat West Brom and actually on beating West Brom had got to the 50 points, which secured our status in that division, which when we first arrived at Huddersfield was the aim. Obviously, we had 1 point after 8 games. It was a tough ask. We were really proud of the group, proud of the players, proud of the staff in really challenging circumstances to achieve what we did. And then I think we'd played on the Friday night, we'd had the Saturday to enjoy it. And I think Saturday evening, the chairman phoned. And if we're honest, we kind of knew it was coming because in football, you always know. So we'd known for probably quite some time that maybe it would happen. And yeah, this is it. So, we had a choice at that time when we first found out. You can decide to walk away or you can get your head down and finish what you started. And that's what we decided to do. And I was actually, my overriding emotion, I was actually really proud of the way, because Nicky and I didn't tell anybody else what we knew. And we just got on with it, really. And I was proud of the way that we did that. I thought we showed a lot of determination in difficult circumstances. So I was actually really proud of us for doing that. And the rest of it, I think initially you feel unfairly treated, but let's be honest, if you're looking for fairness in football, you're looking in the wrong place. So it was what it was. We totally respect the chairman's decision, even if we don't agree with it. And we loved Huddersfield as a club. I thought it was a great club. We picked it up in a really difficult moment, but it had a wonderful support base, really loyal support base who loved their football club. And we wish them only the best moving forward.
I mean, Nicky, when you come through the sort of career path that you have, are the central principles the same, or do you have to keep adapting them? The sort of further up you go, the more money that's involved, and therefore the more egos that are involved, the more diversity of player background, experiences, etc.
I think so. I think maybe like I touched upon earlier, Clem, really, the game's always changing and always evolving. So, you know, you have to keep with it, and you have to keep learning yourself, and you have to be open-minded ultimately. And I think what's been great about our journey that we've been on is we've been able to almost look at football at each division, starting out at Concord Rangers in tier 9, really, if I'm going to use that word tier rather than step, because that seems to be in fashion at the moment. So
indeed.
Yeah, the starting at that level, it's been a fantastic journey that we've had. And what you do get to see is the difference at each level, really. And, you know, probably some of my most recent conversations with Danny is always around, you know, what you need to do and what it takes to win in each division. Because there are numerous ways that you can set up a football team and manage a football club. And ultimately, you need to firstly really think about the identity of the club that you're joining, and also the vision that the club has with the ownership. And also the expectations of the supporters and the playing personnel that you have at your disposal. And it's not until that you can take all of those factors on board that you can probably devise a really good strategy for the club moving forward. And I think you need to look at all of those factors before you make some really important decisions about how success is going to look for the football club that you work for. But yeah, our recent experience, I think, you know, some people might ask why we decided to take the job and move to Huddersfield. I think ultimately, you know, Danny said this before, that we always try to run towards challenges, and that's what we've done in the past. And we often feel that that's where most of our learning comes from, when you're facing, you know, huge challenges. And walking into Huddersfield when we only had 1 point after a number of games and we're at the bottom of the Championship, having experienced a really difficult season, you know, the club had experienced in the Premier League the season before. Obviously, you know, the players were pretty low in terms of morale, and so were the staff. So we saw it as a great opportunity to try and experience that in our managerial career. And ultimately, we felt that by taking that move to Huddersfield, moving forward in our career journey and our path, that we'd be better managers as a consequence of living that experience.
Well, listen, you've kindly agreed to help us have a little look, not just back a week and forward a week across the EFL's three divisions, but I think we're almost at the halfway point. By the time we hit the 2nd of January fixtures, it'll be the halfway point across for most EFL clubs. Schedule I want to talk about, first of all. I mean, I think the Championship alone, 20% of the season has happened in the last month, Danny. That is a hell of a challenge for those managers, isn't it, to keep going twice a week?
I think it's incredibly tough for everybody involved, not just the managers, but the support staff and certainly the players. But the games are coming thick and fast. And I've watched a lot of Championship games, and it's easy to be critical when you're on the outside. But when you've lived those difficult schedules and you know how much it takes out of the players, then you can understand why some of the games maybe don't get to the intensity that otherwise they normally would do.
And I mean, the dominant factor over the last round of fixtures was COVID, which just seemed to spread like wildfire. We had Bristol Rovers, Sunderland, Peterborough and Stevenage games all scheduled to be off on the Saturday before Christmas. And then with 90 minutes notice, the Rotherham game went as well. As we head into the Boxing Day games, Millwall have had to postpone some fixtures. So too Ipswich. I mean, football can't escape from being immersed in what is happening to the whole world, Nicky, and that includes trying to keep COVID out of the camps. I mean, what a challenge for everybody. I mean, you know, players have to go and fill their cars with fuel, will need 10 quid out of the cash point to pay the window cleaner, etc. I mean, is it controllable?
I think all you can do, Clem, is control the controllables. And, you know, that's a saying that a lot of people use, but it's, you know, so important in these circumstances. I think more than ever, managers, players are having to react to circumstances that maybe they couldn't foresee. And ultimately, what that does affect is your planning, and you have to be very good at adapting. And I guess the teams that can cope best in these circumstances will be the teams that are maybe most successful. And, you know, more now than ever, it's testing the resilience of a squad and also the mental toughness of a group. Very, very tough circumstances to manage or to play in, I'm sure.
Yeah, but if we use the controller controllables, Dan, then you can't even have a COVID strategy because you don't know which part of the club is going to be taken away. It could be the backroom staff, but there's enough players to continue. So an academy coach has got to step up, as we saw at Doncaster 6 weeks ago. It could be hierarchy. You know what I mean? It's just...
It's very difficult.
You couldn't actually have a plan, could you, to control it?
I think you've got to try to have plans and contingency plans, don't you? When we first went back in after the first lockdown at Huddersfield, we separated our playing squad. So we initially went back in really small groups of groups of five, then we went into groups of 10 and kind of created bubbles within a bubble. Even the support staff, we would have the medical team broken into two groups so that if one medical team was exposed to it, then we'd still have the other medical team. And you try to put all of these plans in place, but no, they're unique circumstances, very, very difficult situation. I just hope for everybody's sake, really, that we can find a way through this and that we don't have to postpone football. We're obviously losing some games. There's going to come a period. There's going to come a time where some clubs are going to get so far behind in the fixture schedule. When does it become unfair? And then we start to have all of these issues as well. So it's a really difficult time for everybody in football. I think all we can do within football is keep trying to set the right example in terms of the way we behave, try not to get complacent. And if we can be as disciplined as possible and stick to our bubbles, then hopefully we can come through this and we don't lose football for another period.
How much do the players need managing, Nicky, because they're human beings just like everybody else. And I guess the anxiety levels will differ. There'll be some that think, oh, I'm completely impervious to it. There's no way I'm going to get it. There'll be others who'll be very nervous and maybe their missus is getting into them saying, do you really need to go out, etc. You've got to be very versatile, I guess, as a manager to be able to help those different types of personalities.
I think so. And, you know, I think the word that you use there, Clem, versatility is absolutely key, isn't it? Because with all of these situations arising that maybe you couldn't foresee, not only the players have to adapt, but and managers, but ultimately I think there'd be a lot of conversation between managers and players, maybe about players playing in different positions and coping with the situation as best as they can. And it's very, very difficult times, and like Danny says, ultimately what we want to try to do is find a way forward so that we can, you know, finish the season and hopefully come through this period. But I'd imagine for any management team going into a football club right now, you're facing huge challenges. I think of the Championship, you know, with Tony Pulis and Chris Shuton going in at Nottingham Forest and Sheffield Wednesday. No doubt that they've got their ideas in their head, but being able to have that contact time on the training pitch with the players is so difficult with so many matches that they're playing. And that must be really hard for the management teams to be able to get their messages across to the players with the amount of matches that they're having to play in such a short period of time.
So come on then, you watch a lot of EFL football. Dan, you watch a lot of Championship football, you've already said. Who's caught your eye? Have we got the obvious contenders starting to emerge yet for promotion?
I think so. You know, Norwich for me and Bournemouth have been the two teams that I've been most impressed with. It's no surprise to me that the three teams that have come down from the Premier League have done so well this year. Obviously, we had a shortened window with COVID. I don't think the transfer window, I don't think clubs were being as aggressive in terms of recruitment as they would do in normal years. So I think all three clubs that got relegated were able to keep hold of the mainstay of their teams. Norwich in particular, I thought, did some really intelligent recruitment, knowing the Championship as well as they do, having lived a lot of their recent times in that division. So I've been impressed with all three of those teams, particularly Norwich. I really like Norwich. I think Daniel Farke's done a great job. Stuart Webber, I've been really impressed with him actually as a director of football. I was really impressed with the interview that he did on the back end of last season, where he took a lot of responsibility. And I thought that gave Daniel Farke a lot of freedom to then be able to go and manage. I was really impressed with his leadership in that moment.
Can I jump in, Dan? Can I just give you the stats and you just tell me how hard this is to do as a manager? Because right now, as we go into the Boxing Day fixtures, they've got 43 points from 20. 2 years ago, there were three fixtures ahead, but they'd got 47 from 23. So they're probably average points per game ever so slightly ahead. But obviously in the middle of that, they lost 27. So just how hard is it to be able to turn around that kind of losing momentum to then replicate the winning momentum you had 2 years ago? That's some feat, isn't it, to be where they are?
I think it is. And, I have to credit the football club and particularly Stuart Webber, who I know puts a lot of the football operation in place there. But they've stuck to their beliefs. They haven't changed the manager. They haven't changed the game model. I think, one, it shows you the gap between the Championship and the Premier League and how big a jump that is. But in the summer, I thought that they recruited intelligently. They haven't changed the plan, philosophy, the style. They've just recruited players that are Championship ready. And they've obviously kept a lot of players that have had that Premier League experience. And, you know, when you look at Buendia, you look at Cantwell, when you've got a centre forward like Pukki, superb, really, really impressive. And I look at them and I think there's a stat is there that the 11 out of the last 12 teams that have been top at Christmas get automatically promoted, and I'm pretty sure that Norwich are gonna continue in that vein.
Don't you come on the official EFL podcast and try and outstat me, Danny Cowley. How dare you have that one up your sleeve? Right, I'm writing that one down for future reference. In stark contrast, but I guess we have to respect the fact they've had really good success. Staying for 5 years in the Premier League is no mean feat. Watford have gone the complete other route. Vladimir Ivic departed. He won four of his first six games, but then only picked up six in 14. Noticeable differences. I'm doing the stats now before Dan gets in with them. Noticeable differences between home and away. Won 7 of 10 at home, only 2 of 10 away. He went after defeat at Huddersfield, and Cisco Munoz, the former Valencia Levante and Real Betis winger, has come in. He's been brought in from Dinamo Tbilisi. I mean, 13th change since the Pozzo family took over in June 2012, Nicky.
Yes, lots of changes. And, you know, I think what's maybe been difficult this season for Watford has been trying to find a process that I guess that all of the players, supporters and owners can see in terms of having long-term success this season. I think that maybe there's some communication issues as well, reading between the lines. I was listening to Troy Deeney speak after the weekend's game at Huddersfield, after the disappointing result they had. And, you know, I think Troy Deeney is a big character in that change room, and ultimately I think the manager that comes in has to straight away recognise that he's got some really experienced senior players, and they need to try to create a game idea that's, you know, ultimately going to be successful for them to try to get promoted. And no doubt at the start of this season they would have been considering automatic promotion as being a realistic target for them. However, with the changes, it does make it very difficult for any sort of continuity to happen, I guess. And although they've accumulated points, maybe they've not seen that clear process that you'd expect to see from a team that wants to be in the top two of the Championship.
Of the beaten playoff contenders last season, Swansea won half their games, Brentford and beaten in 13 and magnificently have made the semi-finals of the Carabao Cup. Cardiff City had won 5 out of 6 before losing Norwich at the weekend. Again, Danny, coming back after disappointment to sort of replicate the form that got them into the playoffs, again, takes a lot of doing, because sometimes you can have such a hangover, you end up at completely at the other end of the table.
It does. You know, Nicky and I have lived that before, having got to playoffs and been unsuccessful in that playoff period. Obviously, you have a reduced summer, particularly this was already a reduced close season. So for some of those clubs that, particularly Brentford, that lived the playoffs and got to the final and unfortunately lost, they had a very, very short turnaround time. Thomas Frank has just done an unbelievable job there. Yeah. I thought they were the one of the best teams in the division last year. For me, they deserved promotion last year. They just missed out. But to lose Watkins and to lose Benarama, and then obviously they brought Ivan Toney in from the lower leagues, but he's slightly different from Ollie Watkins. So they've had to adapt the game idea slightly to, you know, Watkins would give them more penetration than Toney gives them. Toney gives them more back to goal and link play. So it's been really interesting to see how they've integrated him into the group. And, you know, I watched them again last night against Newcastle and I thought they were fantastic. And again, you know, last night they've made a lot of changes to them. They didn't even have their starting 11 out. So to beat a Premier League team without some of your key players playing is testament to that group and that squad. And with Bournemouth and Norwich, for me, they would be the other club that I would expect to get promoted this season.
Have you got a television room, a football television room, Danny? Because I'm just worried about the kids, like Boxing Day when there's footy on, but they might want to be watching the Christmassy movie, or, you know, mid next week, we've got the Tuesday games as well. Or is the Grinch going to go in and say, no, turn Cinderella off, or Dumbo, or whatever it is, I've got to watch, you know, Portsmouth's latest game?
No, we're lucky here that we're a football family, so our children like football as well, and so do our wives, or at least they tell us they do. So,
and no, their dads dictate. Their dads won't let go of the remote control.
Well, we always say, especially Saturday afternoon, even now while we're not directly involved in football, that afternoon is football afternoon. So yeah, there's football. Normally, Nicky comes round and we have about 4 screens on with all the games going on. So we keep buying iFollow games just for all different random clubs, and we have all the games on together, and it's just a really good opportunity just to watch, see other people's work, and also to keep keep a close eye on players and how they're developing and improving.
Well, Danny gets ready with his killer stat about the bottom three on Boxing Day, all got relegated, escaped or whatever. Nick, who are you worried about at the bottom end of the table?
Well, straight away, you know, I think Sheffield Wednesday would have started on the back foot with their points deduction. And, you know, that's been a difficult start for them. Obviously, changing managers recently, Tony Pulis would be hoping that he can use all of his vast experience of the Championship to try to get them out of trouble. Although he probably feels that he needs to balance his squad a little bit more. So no doubt he'd be looking forward to the January window opening. You know, I look at the promoted clubs from last season, and, you know, Gareth Ainsworth has done an absolute tremendous job at Wickham, and I think that any neutral supporter at home would be absolutely supporting them as an underdog to try to get out of trouble. And you know, they've had a tough last five games, have got close to winning matches, but just not got on the right side of close games. I look at, you know, Derby, another huge football club, and Wayne Rooney. You know, it'd be very interesting to see how he can manage there with the experience of Steve McLaren. And, you know, for me, it's a surprise that they're in that position with the playing squad that they have. But they seem to have picked up a little bit of momentum recently, and they'll be hoping that they can get themselves out of trouble. I think the other surprise is Nottingham Forest as well, after, you know, being on the edge of the playoffs last season, finding himself, you know, at the bottom end this year. And, you know, Chris Hughton, although, you know, I think that he's got a good playing squad, much like Tony Pulis, will be looking to the January window to try to bring in some reinforcements. I think, you know, like I mentioned earlier, with the relegated clubs, look at Rotherham and Coventry. You know, I think they would have expected it to be a real challenge to try to start this season in the Championship. And I think Coventry are doing a good job. I think they'll probably be keen for one of their strikers to score some more goals. Tyler Walker, a player that we had previously at Lincoln, is a very good forward, and he'd be keen to try and prove himself at that level. So, yeah, it's tough down at the bottom. I think there's a little gap, isn't there, between the 20th position and a few teams above. And yeah, it'd be an interesting January to see what players these clubs can bring in to try to help them get out of the trouble they're in.
I wonder whether there's a point when, you know, somebody like Gareth Ainsworth, just that amazing positivity, but I wonder whether there's a point where, however many times you say it, it just isn't quite enough, that the quality and the resources start to catch up eventually, no matter how many times you go, no, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it.
Well, they've done brilliantly thus far to be as competitive as they have. He's done a remarkable job there, and he's a unique guy, isn't he? And has a wonderful relationship with his players, and has the ability to get the very best out of them. They play in a unique style in the Championship, and some teams will find it difficult to play. You know, we've seen Akinfenwa come in recently, and the effect that he's had on that Wickham team. He's really galvanised them, and they're very, very difficult to play against. The hardest thing for Wickham is that even when they play well, sometimes they don't win, and that's the big can be the biggest challenge for the team down there, if you're playing well when you're still coming up short. But time will tell. And the one thing with Wickham, what I would say, they've got an unbelievable spirit and camaraderie, and as this season gets longer, I think that's going to become more and more important. So our heart's definitely with Gareth and Wickham, and we hope that they do stay up. I do think that, you know what, I do think that teams being promoted from League One last season do have the advantage in the respect that they didn't have to play through after the lockdown. So their players did have a break. So they had a sustained period off, and they would have had a longer pre-season in. I do have the feeling that there's going to be a lot of clubs that played in the Championship last year and are still in the Championship that have kind of, you know, lived that crazy end to the season where we had nine games in a really short space of time, had hardly any break, maybe a 2-week break, and were straight back at it. I do think some of those clubs are going to suffer as the season unfolds.
Do you think as well, Nick, we're going to have that kind of not just physical fatigue, but mental fatigue as well, because those that did jump from one season to the other, they haven't had their 2 weeks lying on their backs on a sun lounger and soaking up the sun. Everybody has gone straight through. And even though there was the rest period during the major lockdown that we had from March through to, was it late May, June? I can't remember when it finished. We've had so many lockdowns. It wasn't quite rest, was it? Because I guess football people were in that perpetual state of, we might get going again in a couple of weeks' time. Is that going to catch up with the whole of football?
Possibly. I think, you know, it's a grueling enough schedule as it is with 46 league games in the season in our football leagues. And, you know, to be able to do that after having such a short amount of time rest from the previous season is a real challenge. And I think more than ever, all of us are being tested mentally, aren't we? And, yeah. You know, I really do feel for the players. And I think there'd be a lot of medical teams really working hard to keep their players physically in the right place. But maybe some psychologists in these bigger championship clubs as well, helping as much as they possibly can with the players' mindsets and how to overcome this situation that we find ourselves in.
Are you going to congratulate me? Because we've got like well over halfway through the official EFL podcast, and I've not for 1 second picked up on any of the rumours about you two coming back to work and who you've spoken to and things like that. That's pretty good of me, isn't it? That just shows how loyal I am to you and not giving you a little tickle. Great.
It's coming.
not quite yet. I can't remember who it was that said you'd been talking to. Oh, there's a problem on my line just there at that exact moment. Fixtures on Boxing Day then across the Sky Bet Championship. Local derby as Barnsley take on the Cowleys' former team, Huddersfield. The two COVID-postponed matches so far are Millwall's trip to Bournemouth and Rotherham's trip to Borough. We got Bristol City against Wickham, Cardiff-Brentford, a couple of form teams playing each other. Ita Karanka against a former team for the second weekend in a row as he heads to Forest, and the humdinger is the one in the evening, which is Watford entertaining Norwich. Let's take a whistle stop tour around Leagues 1 and Leagues 2, and rare signs of fallibility from Hull City. Danny Cowley just had a little blip of late, only taken 1 point from their last possible 12.
Yeah, they've had a difficult run of games, and particularly the last four. Had a fantastic start to the season. Another team that stuck with their manager, which obviously we always like to see. So I'm really pleased that Hull showed that loyalty to Grant McCann, and I'm really pleased that they're gaining their rewards as a consequence. But again, good recruitment in the summer. You know, to be fair to Grant, this time last year, Hull would have been sitting in the top half of the Championship. They lost two key players in the January transfer window, and then had a really difficult second half of the season, but fantastic job to turn that negative momentum around. They've done really well. I watched them play Portsmouth on Friday, and they probably would just be disappointed. There was very little in the game. I think Portsmouth won 2-0, but Hull will be disappointed probably with the two goals that they conceded, both from set pieces. For me, Portsmouth, I've watched a lot of League One. Portsmouth, Kenny Jackett done a brilliant job there, turning some of the doubters around after a slow start to the season. But they look the most equipped team for me to win that division. And now they've hit the top, I expect them to stay there.
And Nick, your former team, Lincoln, do we have to praise Michael Appleton here? Because I think probably I thought when you guys left that maybe you'd extracted such value and stretched Lincoln so far to bring them up a couple of divisions that it might be difficult to take them too much further. So the fact that consistently they're in and around the automatic promotion places, I mean, you moved on to pastures new, and that reinvention's probably helped your former club as well, hasn't it, Nick?
They've had a marvellous season so far and responded really well recently at Northampton after suffering two defeats. And I think that was a big test for the group mentally to overcome, you know, a tough fixture away at Northampton, who are fighting for their lives. And the fact that they responded after those two defeats shows that they'll be feeling like they can, you know, be real dark horses this season and stay in contention. And, you know, I have to credit the whole football club, really. It's, you know, the previous chairman, Bob Dorrian, did a fantastic job of keeping the club in existence, really, particularly through its darker days in the National League. And now the new chairman, Clive Nates, a really intelligent guy that's very clear with his vision for the football club moving forward. And I think they've appointed, you know, a manager that's really suits what they're trying to achieve. And, you know, they've brought some young players into the group, and, you know, they've responded really well. And many of them have had excellent seasons so far. And it'd be interesting to see if they can continue the good form that they've showed so far this season in the second half of the season. But no, I think they've recruited in a smart way. I think what benefits Lincoln now is that they've got much more established infrastructure. And I think that a lot of clubs really, particularly in and around these divisions, should look at Lincoln. And now that they've got a training ground that allows them to develop players and makes a huge difference to their collective organisation as well when they go into their matches at the weekends. And I think, you know, they've done ever so well so far, and I hope we're still living in Lincoln, so I'm really hopeful that they can continue doing well.
Is the field narrowing of perfect opportunities, Danny, for you to pick up next? There will be some clubs that perhaps do have a reputation for being less stable than others, but there's a lot of managers have been out a while for quite some time. We've seen a couple come back quite recently. Chris Hewitt, and I'm thinking of Steve Cottrell, was out for 2.5 years before he went to Shrewsbury. Might there come a point where you have to pick one that's not quite as stable as your previous ones have been?
Well, I think for us at the moment, we're enjoying the opportunity to reflect on what we've achieved and what we've done and the way that we work, and we're trying to find ways of moving that forward. So we feel, you know, really blessed to be able to have this time, because there's no doubt that we've been able to move our learning forward. I don't think Huddersfield would have been particularly the right choice at the time, looking, you know, certainly with hindsight on our side now. But
it was obviously right when you chose it, though. You must have, you weigh everything up.
I think so. I think you always do, don't you? And you try to make the right decisions. You respect that you're only a part of that decision, because there's also two football clubs. And, you know, for us at that time at Lincoln, Lincoln were ready to cash in on the compensation, and that was part of their business model as well. Because obviously our compensation was diminishing as our contract run down. So there's always two parts to every story. But for us, you know, regardless of whether it was the right or the wrong choice with Huddersfield, I know we're better managers sitting here today than we were this time a year ago, or this time 18 months ago. So we wouldn't change that experience. And ultimately, is there the perfect job out there? I'm not sure that exists. I think what Nicky and I look for is to work for good people, to work for people that are aligned in their values. And really, you want to find a football club that is self-aware enough to know where it's at, to have a clarity over where it wants to go. And if you kind of get that start point and you get the destination, then the stepping stones become that much more clearer. And then once you get clarity, then ultimately, you can decide whether you can fulfil what their objectives are, and whether you believe in your skill set suits, and, you know, your philosophy and way of working and game model suits the football club that you're speaking to. And you're always looking, but I think that magical word alignment is something that's really, really important. And if you can find that, then, as we've shown in the past, you can have some success and a lot of fun.
Your League One fixtures for Boxing Day: Lincoln currently second, entertain bottom club Burton. It's Portsmouth against Swindon. MK Dons Bristol Rovers sees Paul Tisdale against the team he got promoted from League Two a couple of years ago. Three postponements: Peterborough's trip to Gillingham, Ipswich's home game with Northampton, and Sunderland's game against Hull, all as a result of COVID. And two of the form teams go head-to-head. And just a very quick word, because I don't want to keep you all day. I'm sure you've got pigs in blankets to wrap and presents and all that kind of stuff. But very quickly, I do just want to mention Doncaster, because isn't it great? A guy that everybody describes as a real gentleman Darren Moore, 4 wins out of 6, Doncaster Rovers. They're doing really well.
Yeah, again, done a marvellous job. And, you know, I'm looking at the top end of League One and it's very close, isn't it? There's not many points between first and eighth. Maybe 5 points, I think, between those teams, all fighting for playoff or automatic promotion. But, you know, Darren's done a tremendous job. I mean, losing Johnny Marcus would have been a huge blow to Doncaster. I think he's, you know, maybe the best number nine all round in that division. And to carry on being successful after you lose a very, very important player, a key player, is very difficult. And he's managed to achieve that. I think they've got some other very good players. Very much like Ben Whiteman, who controls a lot of games for them in central midfield. Very good player. And they would have been disappointed last night to have lost to Shrewsbury, because they had been feeling like if they'd won that, then they, you know, they could have gone to the top of the division, which would have delighted Darren. And, you know, I think that, you know, Darren will be doing everything he can again to maybe bring one or two in January to try to keep fighting to get into those playoff positions, because I think ultimately that would be a very successful season for them.
In League Two, Newport County and Cheltenham Town, who were the sort of top two as we went into, not this weekend gone, but the weekend before, switches butter, just a point from 3 games. Forest Green Rovers still going strong, just 3 defeats in 19. Morecambe coming again, 4 wins in 5. But my eyes are drawn on the Grimsby Town situation, because Ian Holloway has resigned as manager. I just want to remind us all, on New Year's Eve last year, John Fenty, the chairman there, said he was stepping aside to allow Ian Holloway to drive the club forward. He'll be given more freedom and autonomy than any other EFL manager. Ollie, though, in the run-up to, getting a win, having lost 4 of their previous 5 last weekend, said on social media, "Let me say I'm going nowhere unless I'm told to." He accused the owners and prospective owners of playing politics and said, "If speaking openly brings my demise, then so be it."
Ian Holloway's a romantic. I think he loves football. I think he maybe saw an opportunity at the stage of his career to almost take ownership of a club and run the club how he wanted. They always talk about the manager and the chairman and the importance of that relationship. And I think he almost wanted to get it to a place where maybe he had taken over both roles and then was really able to drive the football club forward. There was talk about him putting his own money into the club and having a real sort of financial investment, as well as an emotional investment. And I think that's what he envisaged. For whatever reason, it hasn't worked out exactly how he perceived it to. What I would say about Grimsby, a huge, huge football club with a brilliant support base, some of the most fanatical supporters, and they shouldn't be 20th in League Two. They were, you know, certainly through my childhood, I remember them as a championship club, and I can remember them playing West Ham on numerous occasions. So a big club that have just lost their way, they need some energy and some enthusiasm. And I'm sure, you know, there'd be a real disappointment in that Ian's left, because he's such a football man. But I'm sure it's a good opportunity for somebody.
I mean, listen, details are just emerging at the time of recording this week's episode of the Official EFL Podcast. I'm assuming that his departure is something to do with those quotes from last week and not as a result of the home defeat to Bradford midweek. Fixtures in the Sky Bet League 2 then. Exeter, Forest Green is 6th entertaining. 2nd, got a bit of a derby match as Southend take on Colchester. Carlisle at home to Bolton. Cheltenham entertain Stevenage, the leaders Newport at Crawley. And it's 7th v 8th as Salford take on Walsall. So we got a family Christmas lined up, guys. Do you sort of add a bit of romance to the brotherly love? Do you still buy each other presents, or are you far too sort of functional? And
I might buy him a game, Clem, on iFollow. I'll have a look at those fixtures and think about what one Danny wants to watch the most and get him a Boxing Day gift.
Really?
Because he normally buys the games. So
does he really?
I would like to say that I do normally pay for the games, yeah. Yeah, I do. But yeah, no, you can do that, Nick. I'm just trying to think about what game I would most like to watch across the year. There's so many games, isn't it? That's why I have to have 4 or 5 going on, Clem, because I can never decide which ones to watch. There's always a number of teams that I would like to see. I think Lincoln versus Burton will be interesting, because Burton, Neil Eardley and Michael Boswick, who played for us at Lincoln, have now gone to Burton. So that that'd be an interesting one for us. There's a lot of boys that are playing that game that we know, and the best thing about Christmas for me is the amount of football that's on, and the fact that we've got games on Boxing Day and then again midweek and then again New Year's Day just excites me. I'm just looking forward to it, really. We've just got to get the 25th out of the way, because the 25th is so boring, isn't it? No games.
I'm going to try and keep us in the Championship, Clem, so I'm going to go for Watford Norwich. I'm looking forward to that, particularly with the new manager at Watford. I'm interested to see if he can make an immediate impact, and you know, if Norwich can carry on their fantastic form that they've been in as of late.
Good news, listeners. The Cowley brothers' enthusiasm for football has not diminished one single bit. No matter how much I've tried to draw them with further festive references, all they're interested in is 22 blokes kicking a football around for 90 minutes on a pitch. It's been an absolute joy. Love to family. Merry Christmas to the pair of you.
Thanks, Clem.
Thank you.
That's it for another week. A big thank you to football fanatics Danny and Nikki Cowley. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then please do give us a 5-star rating, press the subscribe button, and please share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. My name's Mark Clement. Thanks very much for listening. Merry Christmas, and see you next week for another episode of
The Official EFL Podcast.